From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The media watchdog group Media Matters for America has released audio recordings of Fox News host Tucker Carlson speaking on a radio show between 2006 and 2011 and spewing horribly racist, misogynist, and homophobic rhetoric. Carlson used to be a regular guest on a right-wing shock radio show called Bubba the Love Sponge. Media Matters is reviewing many hours of tape and have announced that there is more to come. Carlson has so far refused to apologize for his horrendous comments, and on Monday he opened his show with an angry rant about the great American outrage machine and how, quote, one day you're having dinner with your family, imagining everything is fine, the next your phone is exploding with calls from reporters. The news comes at the same time as one of Carlson's biggest fans, President Donald Trump, has labeled Congresswoman Ilhan Omar and the entire Democratic Party as anti-Semitic for Omar's remarks about the power of the pro-Israel lobby. My guest is Matt Gertz, senior fellow at Media Matters, where he was the organization's research director during the 2016 election cycle. He's written extensively on press coverage of politics and elections, as well as on media ethics and regulations. Welcome, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
So let's first talk about how it was that this came about, that these audio recordings were unearthed. Tucker Carlson was a host on this show for many years. Did Media Matters just obtain a trove of audio recordings that you decided to go through?
Yeah, I can't really get into how we got them or what we did with them, really, but we are aware of these recordings. They were taking place about once a week for about 5 years, between 2006 and 2011. And we had researchers spending many, many hours going through this entire archive. It's about 100 hours or so. And getting a sense of what Tucker Carlson was doing there. And it seems that generally what he was doing there was saying lots of really misogynistic and racist things. It's a shock jock radio show, so it's the sort of place where I guess he felt comfortable sort of stepping out onto the edge and discussing things like child marriage and young girls and so on and so forth. I think you have some clips, and I don't want to talk about it too much myself because it's pretty gross. But yes, we put out one set of these clips on Sunday night, detailing his various misogynistic comments. We released another set on Monday night, detailing his comments on race and immigration on that channel. And it's all pretty startling stuff, unless you know Tucker Carlson's commentary, in which case this is really fairly in keeping with the type of rhetoric that he's used for years. I think it has a lot of impact right now because so much of it came out at once. But this is sort of the types of things that he says, and I think it's really shocking and disturbing.
Well, let's take a listen to one of the clips where he is referring to women in incredibly disturbing terms. And, you know, I had to review this clip, and I have to say, as we were sort of bleeping it out, it made me sick. It truly made me sick. Here is Tucker Carlson, the person, his voice is the one on the phone, and then you hear the host of this radio show that Carlson was a regular guest on.
You know what gets women going is arguing with them.
Really?
Yeah.
Brad, I never use them.
It's true. You debate politics with a woman and just go, you know, just full-blown out there, especially feminism. If you're talking to a feminist and she's giving you, men really need to be more sensitive and this. No, actually, men don't need to be more sensitive. You just need to be quiet and kind of do what you're told.
And lighten up a little bit, bitch.
They love it.
Alexis Stewart, we run into her all the time.
She seems like a...
They're very...
She seems extremely...
That word out of, oh yeah, I stepped over him. She seems what now? Go ahead.
She just does seem a little. Yeah, I mean, you said it. I'm just agreeing with you. I don't use that word because.
Right,
offensive.
I'd love for Tucker Carlson tonight on MSNBC. A girl that comes across kind of.
Well,
that's
she
right.
does. I mean, I heard her. Now I'm a Brent fan, so okay, I'm stating my bias right out front here. But I heard her on with him, and I just wanted to give her the spanking she so
I actually watched.
And that's Tucker Carlson talking about giving a woman the spanking she so obviously needs, and referring to women, a person named Alexis Stewart, I believe it's Martha Stewart's daughter, using the C word, which is about all I can say on the air. How is this? Matt, you were saying that some of this is in line with the kinds of things that he still continues as host on Fox News to say. I'm assuming he doesn't actually use those words because he can't. But how misogynist is Carlson's current rhetoric in a way that doesn't surprise you to hear his earlier comments from past years?
So the use of the C word is a little bit different. That's actually a case in which he's been quite forthright that he doesn't think that any man should be using language like that. And here's a case in which he used it himself. The overlap comes more where he's talking about sexual relationships between older women and boys, which he has said on television, on Fox News, is really a great thing for the boys. The teenagers, he's talking about generally instances in which there are high school teachers having affairs with their students. This is something that the outlet that he started, the Daily Caller, has spent lots and lots of time pursuing over a period of several years, and that he clearly can't really get away from. And so that's another clip that got a lot of attention from one of these interviews. But yeah, I mean, this is pretty gross language. This is pretty gross rhetoric. Clearly, you know, he felt that he was in a venue where that was fine. Tucker has that habit of sort of adopting the contours of the venue in which he is talking. He went on InfoWars several times in the early part of the decade and said a lot of really sort of conspiratorial stuff there. So it's just sort of par for the course for him, I would say.
Well, let's play another clip, continuing this from the first set of clips released by Media Matters of Tucker Carlson, continuing on with the misogyny.
Well, I love women, but they're extremely primitive. They're basic. They're not that hard to understand.
Putting Paris and Brittany in a commercial with Obama is classic old school miscegenation, old South.
Uncle Tom.
It's old South.
These
two young white girls are going to be dating a black man.
So they're trying to say that he's coming for your pristine white daughters by putting two of the biggest white whores in America?
I feel sorry for unattractive women. I mean, there's nothing they did, you know?
What's better than hockey, weed, and whores? I mean...
But you know, first of all, there's no Canadian woman that you'd want to pay to sleep with. Anybody who answers my trophy wife is my favorite possession is my hero. I don't give a shit. I'm voting for the guy.
And that's Tucker Carlson. Anybody who says my favorite prize is my trophy wife, I would vote for the guy. Maybe he was previewing Donald Trump all those years ago. So here you have Tucker Carlson again, not just making horrendously misogynist remarks. He also was engaged with this host in making racist remarks about President then Barack Obama. Old South miscegenation is what they were calling it. And talking about women being very basic and very primitive. Matt, Chris Cuomo of CNN challenged Tucker Carlson to repeat these comments and stand by them now if he wasn't going to apologize for them. What do you make of that?
I think that, Tucker Carlson's response to this has been, to lash out at us, to lash out at his critics, to say that he used some naughty language, but that he will never bow down to the mob.
Naughty is the word he used? Naughty language?
Naughty language is the phrase that he used when referring to the misogynistic comments. I don't think he's weighed in yet on the racist ones. But, I think it's pretty clear that he has no intention of backing down. It's also pretty clear that Fox isn't going to make him back down. They haven't said anything at all about this publicly. After he said on the air last night that Fox was standing by him, reporters who reached out to the network for confirmation did get confirmation that that is the case. But no sort of statements, nothing with a name attached to it whatsoever. And, you know, I think that is that's pretty consistent with the way Fox behaves when the network comes under fire for bigoted comments that its on-air talent makes, at least its more prominent on-air talent. They tend to lash out. They tend to stand by them. You know, they don't attempt to create any sort of standards whatsoever, any sort of sense of accountability for what is said on their airwaves. And I think because of that, they're going to continue to have these problems. They have been for years, and it's not going to stop.
All right. Well, so let's take a listen to the content that was released about his racism. In particular, there was, I thought, a very disturbing clip around Iraq and Iraqis. At the time that this exchange happened that we're about to play, that Media Matters put out, it was the peak of the Iraq War. It was a few years into the Iraq War, and Tucker Carlson made incredibly dehumanizing comments about Iraqis. And as I'm listening to this, I'm thinking to myself, just swap out the word Iraqis for, say, Israelis, and think about how this would have been viewed or would still be viewed. And we have such a double standard when it comes to talking about Muslim people in this country. Somehow, comments against Muslim people are simply not considered racist. Here is Tucker Carlson again in a clip speaking with a Radio Shock Jock host.
Iraq is a crappy place filled with a bunch of, you know, semi-literate, primitive monkeys. But I just have zero sympathy for them or their culture, a culture where people just don't use toilet paper or forks.
And the way they treat women, you know, I agree with you. Their culture is, but you're in their homeland, and you're over there as an American who they hate, and they want nothing more than the Americans off of their soil. So they're not going to play
the
games.
Second, they can just shut the up and obey, is my view.
How could you salvage Iraq at this point?
I don't, you know, it's beyond our control. I mean, if somehow the Iraqis decided to behave like human beings or something.
And that is Tucker Carlson imagining that if Iraqis decided to behave like human beings, the U.S. Would get out of there. Matt, he has not made any response yet to this particular clip?
No, as far as I can tell, he has not said anything about it yet. That clip dropped in the middle of his broadcast on Monday night, on Sunday night he released a statement on Twitter in which he said that the comments had been naughty, but he wasn't going to apologize. And as of yet, there's been no response on this one.
And then finally, one last clip on some other remarks that he has made from the second batch of audio that was released. Let's take a listen.
Like, if you are really heavily into Islam, I don't care for you that much. And I don't care what that sounds like. You can call me a racist. You can come whatever the f*** you want.
And at this juncture, you could say that and not catch a lot of f*** for
you. You certainly could. I'd vote for you if you said that.
You know, white men have, you know, they've contributed some, I would say, like creating civilization and stuff. I think they've done whatever.
And those are comments made by Tucker Carlson, first about, about embracing bigotry against Muslims, and then about white supremacy, basically, that white men have been responsible for creating civilization. So, Matt, how does he routinely echo these aspects on his show? I mean, this is a host who is very influential with our president on a channel that seems to be setting the nation's political agenda because of its sway on the White House?
The reality is that some of Tucker's biggest fans are white nationalists. David Duke is a big supporter. Lots of other sort of alt-right figures. Recently there were some leaked messages from Identity Europa, which is another white supremacist group. And they all love him. They all think he's doing a great job bringing their messages about the dangers of immigration, the perils of somehow diluting the national culture by bringing in more people who aren't white, bringing that message to a huge audience of Fox News viewers. He's got 3 million people a night listening to him bemoan the destruction of the United States culture on the grounds that more people of different backgrounds are coming in. The language that he used in the Bubba the Love Sponge interviews on race is somewhat harsher and certainly very obviously noticeable as bigoted. But it's part and parcel of the same brand of language and rhetoric and ideas that he is selling to the public through his Fox News show night in and night out.
Now, on Monday, White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders held a press conference where she said that the Democrats should take a lesson from how the Republicans handled Steve King's racist remarks. Steve King is, of course, a Republican who has for years been known for his white supremacist views. And it was only, in recent weeks and months that he was essentially censured by his colleagues. But his record goes way back. I'm wondering whether they would be applying, whether the White House would apply the same standards to Tucker Carlson as they say they have proudly applied to Steve King.
I doubt it. I mean, similarly, we saw some pretty horrendous Islamophobic comments from Jeanine Pirro on Saturday night on her program. Mm-hmm. And these got a lot of attention to the point where Fox actually had to distance itself from what she had said. But, she is someone who's incredibly close to the president, incredibly close to the White House. There's been a lot of reporting that the White House is deliberately booking staffers on her program every week because they know that the president watches it every week, and they think that they can keep him on message if he hears White House aides talking to him through the television on her show. And so that's just the sort of thing that they find acceptable in other contexts, and they're certainly, I would say, not going to back away from people like Tucker Carlson, people like Jeanine Pirro. Fox News is really a propaganda arm of the Trump White House at this point. I think that's quite clear. And so it's entirely in the White House's, incentives to stick with them come hell or high water.
I mean, the facade that Fox News is somehow a news outlet is constantly slipping. If this entire news outlet stands by Tucker Carlson after this audio has been released, and if the White House continues to stand by Fox News, don't they all deserve to be essentially associated with one another? I mean, by extension, if you think that Tucker Carlson should remain on Fox News, you are as racist and misogynist as he is.
I mean, I think what's pretty clear is this is all happening at a very dangerous time for Fox News. They are bringing in all of the major media buyers from Madison Avenue for a big meeting at their studio on Wednesday. The reason that they're doing this is because they've been subject to a series of advertiser boycotts against their major hosts over the last, several months. And they're trying to send the message that Fox News is safe for advertisers, that it'll be okay, and that everyone should come back and put their ads on Fox's programming. In the middle of that effort, they have huge scandals blowing up involving two of their major hosts. I think it's very bad business for advertisers to be associating themselves with the network right now. And I think Fox is in a lot of trouble.
So the timing of this is quite critical. And certainly, yes, we've had many hosts in the past that have been subjected to boycotts. As far as you know, I suppose it's still too early to tell if advertisers are going to be pulling away from Tucker Carlson. In the Fox News universe, for those of us who try really hard to avoid Fox News, where does Tucker Carlson stand within that universe? What is his position in the hierarchy? Is he essentially one of the top dogs?
Yeah, he's pretty close. I would say Sean Hannity is probably the most powerful figure at Fox News right now. He's the 9 p.m. host. He's been there since the beginning, and he has a close personal relationship with President Trump. He's someone who the president will call up on a regular basis for advice and ask him how to deal with different policy and political issues. Tucker Carlson's not quite that far along. He's not someone that has the president's that is on the president's regular call sheet, but he is someone whose show the president likes and whose show the president will tweet about on a fairly regular basis. You know, one of the things that I do here at Media Matters is I track the president's tweets and show how they are coming often in response to particular Fox News segments. And Tucker is up there pretty frequently. The president will frequently tweet out a quote that he's just seen on the show, and to let everybody know that he likes Tucker's show and that it's a place that they should be going to for their news. So Tucker's pretty powerful, yeah.
Right. The next time Trump speaks positively about Tucker Carlson, he really ought to be challenged about whether he stands by Carlson's comments about women, about Iraqis, about immigrants. We didn't even play all of the clips. There's more. And I understand, Matt, that Media Matters is likely going to be releasing more. You're essentially releasing the audio as you find it, as you're going through it.
Yeah, you know, we've put out two big pieces. There's a lot of material to look through. There's a lot of material to vet and make sure we're doing a good job with it. Right now, we're focused on this big Fox media buyer conference coming on Wednesday. But yeah, we've got a lot of material to look at.
Hmm. And Media Matters' website is the best place to find it?
It is, mediamatters.org.
How do you hope that other media outlets will use this information? I mean, unfortunately, we don't live in a country where one actually has to report truthfully and honestly the news, and therefore Fox News can continue to just operate, claiming it is a media outlet under the name of free speech, or et cetera. Given this increasingly clear and negative role in our democracy in perpetuating anti-democratic, racist, misogynist, white nationalist, and white supremacist views, can this audio be a tool or used by advocates and activists?
Sure. I mean, I think that it is certainly getting a lot of attention, putting a lot of eyes on both Carlson himself and Fox News to see what either of them will do next as all of this develops. But it is a situation where the network is only going to take as much accountability as they are forced to. And so all of the attention paid to it can only help.
Well, we'll post a link to the clips from our website after this interview. Thank you so much, Matt, for joining us.
Thank you.
My guest is Matt Gaertz, senior fellow at Media Matters, where he was the organization's research director during the 2016 election cycle. He writes extensively on politics, elections, media ethics, and regulations. And we've been discussing the newly unearthed Tucker Carlson racist and misogynist audio from about a decade ago. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.